in Seattle,
Seattle.
And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you,
because
we're the realtors
that you can trust.
So go to RodandConcertDown.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. It's our Friday show. It's one segment. It's about real estate, because as you know, we've been your broadcasters for the last 30 years, hopefully your friends for the last 30 years, but also for a lot of you, your real estate agents. Thanks for all your referrals, telling people about the Ron and Don Nation and Ron and Don Real Estate, because we do sell the sound. In fact, we're working on homes up north, down south, east side, west side, even out toward Port Orchard. So when you need us, just reach out. People have been reaching out in the past couple of weeks from places like Fedway, right, and Auburn, and Tacoma, east side up north, and Bothell, Ballard. We're here to help. So we do sell the sound. We are here to help. And anyway, if you're buying, selling, investing, please reach out. We do something called a Ron and Don sit down, and we can sit down with you virtually today. And sometimes people are just asking questions, and you should be asking questions, because it's a very large transaction, maybe the largest transaction you'll ever make in your life. And I love the people that really want to educate themselves before they make any decisions. Because I tell you what, real estate creates a lot of pressure. And if you're not ready for that pressure, and you end up signing things and you don't know what you're signing, or you haven't really read those documents, or you're not really comfortable with asking the questions. And we see it all the time, where even people that are attorneys, but they're not real estate attorneys that we work with, they still have lots of questions, and they're still stymied sometimes by how involved these contracts can become, especially when you're out there trying to buy a home or sell a home right now. So anyway, we're here to help. And also anything concerning short-term rentals, 1031 exchanges, all that stuff. Let's talk about it. Ron and Don sit down. .com. Ron wrote something this week. I'm going to let him share. This is kind of cool. It has gone viral, and it involves a radio personality by the name of Dave Ramsey. If you don't know who Dave is, he's been on usually on the AM dial for decades. He takes phone calls. You tell him that you're in debt, and then he gives you a strategy to get out of debt, and not only get out of debt, but get to the point where you can buy real estate. He really believes in non-car payments. In fact, he always says, hey, look at the $850 that you're spending on two cars. And then he explains, if you took that $850 a month and you invested it for this long in the S&P 500, for instance, what that would be worth. He does a really good job of explaining, especially young people that get in a lot of debt and over their skis sometimes, with consumer spending, with travel, lots and lots of credit card debt. And lots of people out there buying cars and trucks that are now, that is $1,000 or $1,200 a month payment. And then you put that insurance on top of that. It can be a very, very expensive life right now. I'm amazed by how expensive life can be sometimes. And I only have one child. I don't know how people do it with three or four. So anyway, I think he's a good guy. He coaches people up. He tries to steer them out of debt, investing, building a wealth snowball. And I think he does a real good job with that. Some of his advice, though, is he believes that you shouldn't take on any debt, and that, you know, there are, like Robert Kiyosaki, for instance, he wrote the book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He believes in using debt as a vehicle to go make money. So he has a different perspective on it. Anyway, Ron, what'd you have to say about Dave Ramsey this week?
Yeah, and just to give us a little context, I've never had a Facebook post go as viral as this post. To give a little context, Don and I are very active on social media. I think you get more response than I do typically. I know you get more response than I do typically. And so normally if I put something up, and I write articles or posts like this, I've written dozens, if not hundreds, of things like this before. And so typically a decent post for me will get a couple thousand people will engage with it, which I always am super grateful for. If you think about a couple thousand, that's like the Moore Theater of people engaging with your post. So I'm very grateful for when that happens. Every once in a while, I would get 10 to 15,000 people engaging. And I think of that as like, okay, that's, you know, like going to a hockey game, like that many people engaging with something that I've thought about and written. Again, super grateful for that. And so this post that I wrote with that just mentioned Dave Ramsey in a concept that he talks about, as we're recording this right now, it has over 650,000 people have been exposed to it.
Wow.
And close to 90,000 people have engaged with it. So I can't even keep up with the comments and the traffic. Like it's incredible. So here was my premise of what I wrote. There's a local economist here named Matthew Gardner, and he created two charts for Washington State. And the two charts were this: first-time homebuyers and regular homebuyers, what percentage of their income is going towards housing? That's all that it was by county. So you could go, oh, I'm in King County. King County right now is 41% of the income goes towards housing. And so you just pick your county and you see what percentage of income for the average person or the average first-time homebuyer is going towards housing. So when I saw that statistic, it was eye-catching to me because I have listened to Dave Ramsey before, and what he preaches is that families or single people should never spend more than 25% of your take-home pay on buying a house or on your housing budget, and you should only get a 15-year mortgage. So Dave Ramsey, if you listen to him, that's what he preaches. 25% max, and it needs to be a 15-year mortgage, and then pay it off early. So he always talks about you're going to take out a 15-year mortgage, but you're going to go beans and rice and work a second job delivering pizzas. You're going to pay that house off in seven. And so then you're going to live mortgage-free and all the stuff that you talked about at the top. So that's his premise. And Dave, if I'm correct about this, I believe he lives in Tennessee. In rural Tennessee, he is where he's headquarters. I think he has properties in other places, but he lives in, my sister and brother-in-law live in Tennessee, so I'm relatively familiar with the Tennessee market. Nashville is pretty crazy, but if you get outside, if you're in Knoxville or Greenville or whatever, it's very different. And so I wrote a piece basically that said, hey, Dave Ramsey doesn't live in the Pacific Northwest. And I said, I'm not a Dave Ramsey hater, but when you look at this infographic that Matthew Gardner created, it's like, if you look at that, how do you compete? How do you do this? Everybody has to have a place to live. And so what are our options here? And if you live in Tennessee or you live in Alabama, maybe you can find a place where 25% of your income will buy you suitable housing. So all my article said was, this is the real numbers. And here's a couple options, a way to think about this for the Pacific Northwest. One of them was to get a partner. So partner up. I've had friends that like partnered up with someone. They buy a house together, live in it for 4 or 5 years, cash out, capture the equity, and then they can go buy their house because they've got an equity position now that has grown. Another way you could do it is to sublet your house. Find a house where you can get a roommate that's going to help you pay the mortgage to get that number down. And then the third one that I talked about, which I think Dave Ramsey would approve of, move to a cheaper part of the world. So if you really are an adherent to the Dave Ramsey philosophy, maybe you go, well, I can't live in the Pacific Northwest. I need to move to Knoxville, or I need to move to Cleveland. I need to move to Akron, Ohio, where I can find a house that would be 25% of my take-home pay. So this clearly has struck a nerve with...
What is the response? What are people commenting on? Are they with you? Are they mad at Dave? Are they...
One guy said that I'm smoking meth and that came after me. There's a crowd that is blaming illegal immigrants. So like that conversation started to happen. And then there's the people that go, oh,
what about the illegal immigrants who you've been smoking meth with?
Right.
Yeah.
You have the crowd that is like the time machine crowd. It's like all these boomers that bought houses in the 70s and 80s. And people like to point out the economics of how that was a different time. And that's not untrue. Like what they talk about on wage growth and all that stuff is not untrue. And then other people that give examples of like, no, I did it the Dave Ramsey way, and I'm glad that I did. Mm-hmm. So there's actually, it's a robust conversation happening here among the 650,000 people who have been exposed. And so as I thought about it, I was like, why is this touching such a nerve? And I also saw a recent post here for the Pacific Northwest where the mayor of Seattle is now, he's trying to, the new model that he's doing to increase housing, I wonder what you think about this, is to say, hey, I'm going to go, we're going to identify intersections that still have those old school, one story, low slung buildings around it. Maybe it's a bodega or it might be a couple offices. We want to tear those down and create these little hubs where you can walk or ride a bicycle within 15 minutes to get your basic necessities done. So we're going to try to upzone those in a way, create urban density that will have a grocery store. It'll have
Wait a minute, homie. I can ride my bicycle from Queen Anne to Woodinville and be out at one of the vineyards out there.
You're a fast rider.
In 15 minutes.
You're a fast rider.
15 minutes?
He said walk or ride a bike in 15 minutes. So, but the critics of that
are the hills of Seattle
are saying that's still not going to make it affordable by this metric, the 25% thing. So I just think if you believe in that Dave Ramsey thing, to me, you are exposing yourself to more risk if you increase that percentage. I think in this market, it's worth it because we've seen year over year growth in your in properties pretty consistently over the past 20 years. And so in other markets, that's not true. So I think if you do have to stretch to 40%, as it talks about in King County, that's a huge stretch. I get that that's a huge stretch. What's the alternative? If you're going to rent, what if rent is still more than 25%? So would you rather be a renter at breaking the Dave Ramsey rule, or would you rather be an owner breaking the Dave Ramsey rule? To me, I'm a little more risk tolerant than I think the normal person is, and it's worth the risk because of the reward, the potential there, especially if you're a conscientious owner.
I think what you learn, though, Ron, and and congratulations on that. What you wrote is really great, and check it out. Just find Ron Upshaw on Facebook and enjoy the conversation. The important, even if you don't follow all his principles, the importance of understanding what student loan debt can really do to you, or understanding what credit cards, the blessing and the curse of the credit card, because he doesn't like people using credit cards either. And at the same time, if you don't use that credit card and you don't play the game, and actually, isn't this insane? Let's say that I have a credit card and it has a $1,000 limit, and I go out and I use that credit card every month and I pay it down to zero. Do you know my credit rating will be much, my FICO score in a year will be much higher if I pay it down under 20%. So let's say I pay it down to $139 or $150, or your credit, because the algorithm wants to see that you can handle money. And if you get in a pinch or in a space where you have to be able to still pay other bills, and even though you can't pay that credit card all the way down, can you manage it? Or are you maxed out somewhere on that card at 80% and then you jump to another card? So understanding at a young age how to build your credit, how the credit card game is played, and then making sure that you can go out and rent a really cool boat on Lake Union. There's no reason to buy a boat and deal with the mooring and the trailer and get pulled over by the police all the time. Like, especially if you have pretty girls on your boat, or you are a pretty girl, you're going to get pulled over all the time. especially on Lake Washington. You can rent a really cool car anywhere. You can go on vacation, right? You can do that. There, you can rent really and lease really cool experiences. And so I think his message, and I'm doing this with my son now, like my son is 14 years old and has his own Fidelity account. And we are investing in a little business that we started each and every month. So we were talking about Dave Grohl the other day. because he's still reading the book, The Storyteller. And it's a book that I read that I gave to him. And he's really into Dave Grohl, really into Nirvana right now. Like I go by his room and he's in there playing Nevermind. He's really, really into it and all their stories and all the guys. And they were here in Seattle. And he just looks at me at breakfast the other day and he goes, "You know what I like about Dave Grohl?" I said, "What's that?" He goes, "He seems to be an investor like you and me." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I can just tell in his book that he's smart with money and that he's an investor." So he's my son is really in a space now thinking about investing. I wish I would have known even 10 years ago the stuff that I can share and teach him today, because even if you don't come from wealth, which I don't come from, I do not come from a wealthy family, there are things that you can do at a very early age that will tip the scale in your direction. And by teaching our kids, not handing them the fish, that old adage, but actually teaching them how to fish, like how to do it, all the tools are there. The Fidelity account is there. And even if they're just taking $50 of the money that they make during the course of the month for extra things they're doing around the house, and they put that in that account, and they do that consistently, and then they begin to understand about Roth IRAs and all the other stuff, you don't have to leave them a big chunk of change. Go spend your money, have a great life, retire. And there'll be a chunk of change for them waiting in the future because of what they learned to do when they were 13, 14, 15 years old. I think that's where Dave Ramsey is coming from.
I'm not
from.
A Dave Ramsey
about,
hater.
It's about a mindset of really understanding debt.
And I agree. And he set up financial advisors that he certifies around the country. I think he's helped a tremendous amount of people understand money and get out of debt. I think this one principle of saying the only way you could ever buy real estate is 25% on a 15-year mortgage. It's not practical in Washington. Yeah. So if I believe, and again, you can disagree with me, I believe it's worth the extra risk. I'll give you the example of my rental in Burien. It was more than 25% of my take-home pay to jump into that property 5 years ago, or it might have been 6 years ago now. But because I did my a lot of research and I bought in a neighborhood that I thought was on the rise, and it has been on the rise, my equity in that house has gone up several $100,000. Where else could I put that money that I would get a $250,000 increase in the principal?
The difference, it was
a risk-reward thing.
The difference, though, to be fair, because I have some kind of idea of the money you were making at the time that you bought that property, your 25% was different than somebody else's 25%.
Absolutely.
And so looking at it as just a percentage, and I think that's really your point of the article,
right,
is ridiculous, because getting off the plane here in Seattle now, if you can run an AI team, you're making $1 million.
Right.
Stepping off the plane, right?
But if it was too much of a stretch, that house, and you know that house, I could have got a roommate. Like, there's enough room in that house if I really was in that space, like, I need housing, I want to invest in real estate, it's too much of my take-home pay, I could have found somebody to say, hey, partner with me, help me buy this house, or let me rent, sublease a room. There are ways to manipulate the math. You can even get a family member to, you know, maybe help you with your down payment right now to manipulate your loan numbers. Instead of, you know, getting an inheritance in 20 years, get part of that inheritance now. So there are ways to do this, and I'm not saying that Dave Ramsey is wrong. In a perfect world and in the parts of the country where you could do this, my mom is from Ohio, so I will jump on Ohio real estate every now and then and go, holy cow, I could just buy a house in parts of Ohio
neighborhood
for $79,000 and it'd be a cool house. But then you're living in Ohio, so I just wanted to put it in perspective. The fact that it blew up and is now probably, by the time we finish this segment, it's probably going to be at 700,000 people have been exposed to it. It boggles my mind a little bit. And hopefully, you know, some people might reach out to Ron and Don Real Estate to give them a hand in buying a piece of real estate here.
Cool, man. Yeah. And just, man, really understanding You can leverage debt, but that's in a property that is going to increase in value like your place in Burien did. And I'm sorry, but the new Tesla you just bought 2 years later, after you drive that new Tesla off the lot, 2 years later, it's worth half of what you're paying. And a lot of times, 2 years later, you're already upside down on that car. So drive cars that you own, right? And if you're going to embrace the suck, every day when my son and I work out, and I'll finish with this, and we're doing, we kind of do stretches at the end of our workout. And some of the stretches are really painful, especially some of the planking that we do. And I just look over at him and I say, you know what? 3 minutes on the plank. It's time to get comfortable with, and he'll say, being uncomfortable. That's the same thing in real estate. If you're out there and you're going to embrace the suck and you're renting, well, then you're going to have to embrace the suck for the rest of your life. But if you can find a way in, then you can embrace that suck. And at some point, it's not going to be so uncomfortable because you're going to have an equity position now. And now you can use that equity to free up your life and your time a little bit, because it's really about freeing up your time so that you can have a great life. So, hey, thanks for giving us a great life. Thanks for listening to us on this Friday. We really appreciate it. Thanks to everyone that's reached out that wants to be part of the Nation News. In fact, I think we'll take this article and put it in the Nation News for you. Why don't we do that? So go to ronanddon.com, get signed up for the Nation News, and we'll make sure this Dave Ramsey article is sent out to all of you. Okay. If you need help with the sit down, ronanddonsitdown.com. Until next time, you've been listening to the Ron and Don Show. Only on the Ron and Don Radio.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only!
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 Only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.